You are listening to Everyday Global Anglicans, a podcast produced by GAFCON, Global Anglican Future Conference. This podcast and other resources are made possible by people like you. Please help us to continue making these resources available by visiting us at gafcon.org. GAFCON's mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. Hello, my name is Ernie Dito, and I'm the Communications Director for GAFCON and the regular host for Everyday Global Anglicans. Today we're chatting with Bishop Sammy Morrison from Chile, where he is the Bishop of the Valparaiso Diocese. Also, Frances Cook, she's a translator and CMS Australia missionary in Chile. She's been there almost 32 years. And finally, by Giuliani Ushua, from the Anglican Church of Brazil. She is married to the Archbishop Miguel Ochoa, and she is also the communications assistant, translator, speaker, and administrator with GAFCON. And an interesting new fact that I have recently learned, she is a worship team percussionist on the cajon in particular. Did you know that GAFCON works not only in the English language, but that also we translate devotions, web pages, and many documents into Portuguese and Spanish? There are other languages we are branching out into, like French, but today we'll be chatting with these translators who give an immense amount of time translating and helping stay connected with the Portuguese and Spanish-speaking world. What is it that you do, particularly with GAFCON, but also in your daily life, and and particularly with the GAFCON devotions and other things? Start with Bishop Sammy.
Yeah. Oh, at the beginning, I did almost everything in Spanish, but now Francis is doing, at least the devotions are being done by Francis. I do the prayers and also special projects in Spanish. I want to say that GAFCON starts with a G, which is for global. Anglicanism is global. That means that it's multilingual. And that's something we have to adjust ourselves. It's not an English-speaking community. It's a multilingual community, and we have to realize that. And we are trying to do a little bit so Spanish-speaking Anglicans relate to Anglicanism in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we do.
Well, we're extremely grateful. Anybody that has ever done translation or interpretive work understands that it's not fast and it's not easy. And Francis, tell us where you are and what you're doing and why you don't have a Spanish accent.
Hey, well, I'm about 150 kilometers inland from where Sammy is, in the city of Santiago, the capital of Chile. And I don't have a Chilean accent because I'm not Chilean. I'm Australian, born and bred. For GAFCON, I've been during this year at translating the daily devotionals. And my normal work is working for the Anglican Church of Chile in our seminary, Bible Institute, whatever you like to call it, in Santiago. And I administer a certificate in theology for lay people. And within the SEP, I also teach introductory Greek and some church history. Both of those, I have to say, more or less because I happen to be in the right place at the right time rather than being particularly qualified for them.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, I work for GAFCON with Ernie in communications, and I have been translating everything to Portuguese and receiving the help of Bishop Sammy and Francis. That is a huge help with the Spanish versions. So we now have the multilingual website for 1 year, right? Last year we started in February. So now we have all the communications in three languages. And this is really important. When we have any important news from GAVCON we can share in our church is saying, this is also in Portuguese, so you can read there, you can see there. This is, has been a big blessing for Anglican Church in Brazil as well.
That's awesome. I really can't express enough my thanks to the three of you and the work that you do with this. When I lived in Guatemala, I just have a high regard for people that can interpret and translate, and to do it all the more so when you're dealing with matters of the heart. You know, it's one thing to buy fruit and vegetables at the grocery store in another language, but to be translating sometimes from, you know, in your case, Giuliani and Sammy, from English to Spanish or Portuguese, that can really be hard, and likewise for Francis. Here's what's happened, though. What's interesting, for a little behind the scenes, we are benefited by it, because any one of the three of you often will read a devotion sometimes, and there will be questions, and there'll be like, wait a minute, that's peculiarly said or written. What did they really mean what they just wrote? And I mean, is it just my misunderstanding of English? So there's an iron sharpening iron that happens there. Am I right, Francis?
Yes. And sometimes you probably get it wrong.
That's right. And it happens, and it challenges us. And we oftentimes even have to amend the English, because it's not coming out right. And it almost may even sound heretical, is not the word, but just off. And so it's a very much iron sharpening iron thing. And we're extremely well, so you guys get to dig down and read it in a way that even I read sometimes the devotionals out loud in an audio version. And so for people to understand and know, we also have each one of these devotions are also done in audio versions, which are now available on podcasts. So you can subscribe to them in addition to landing on the page and getting it. And so when I read them in an audio, well, I go deep, but not nearly as deep as a translator. What are some of the devotions in particular that have moved you personally over the past year or so, if any?
I cannot remember who wrote them. I cannot remember the name. But early last year, we had devotions written by an English layperson who had cancer, and he wrote all the devotions around his way of seeing things through his illness, and that for me has remained in my mind.
That was Jeremy Marshall.
A lay person.
March or April? I can't remember the months that he did that.
Yeah, it was early at the beginning when we started to put the devotions in Spanish.
That's right.
And I think that was the first series.
And Jeremy, it was interesting, it was so helpful right in the thick of COVID, him being able to talk about drawing the connection between suffering as we were going through it with COVID and in his own personal suffering, cancer. Yes, that was a good one. Giuliani or Francis?
He came to be doing this somewhat by accident. The first one that I did anyway was one that Ashley Null did after Easter, and I thought this might be something that's useful for my church history students. So I started translating on the understanding that was a false understanding on my part that it was only going to be one a week. So yeah, found that in actual fact it was more than that. And also, there's a series which have sort of become fill-ins, I think, but on that take documents from the early church as devotionals, and that's been good too.
Right, Barbara Gauthier does that. She is extremely helpful in that regard, and she goes deep on some of the church fathers, and the way the devotions are structured, we'll have the devotional content part in a prayer. Sometimes the prayer will be drawing from the Book of Common Prayer or from the past church fathers. Giuliani, did you have something?
Yeah, for me, I loved the Ashley Noon, Reverend Ashley Noon, and also Reverend Simon Manchester. He wrote about Deuteronomy. Was amazing, and many people here in Brazil shared to me that was a totally different way to look at this book, the way he wrote about it. And the current one from Chetty Annis, I'm loving to translating this one too.
Right. So you're saying Chetty Annis recently, just this month, right now, we're in the process of working with his, and Chetty is from Egypt, and yes, and just providing again, it's another angle that is just really enriching our church, our communion. I believe it's really amazing. So we've had them from England, the U.S., Australia, Kenya, Egypt. Where am I missing?
Sydney too.
Sorry.
Hey. Australia,
yeah. Yeah, so now we need some from Latin America, don't we?
We had also devotions from a Pakistani English background.
That's right, that's right. That was from Bishop Michael Nazarali, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, good catch. I want to just switch gears here and ask about you and your area and your region. I'll start off by just saying the question that many ask, Anglicanism, by nature of the word Anglican, English, about a church that's English speaking. Well, what relevance and why is it that that's growing in Latin America, and what's the connection in that? I hear some people ask that or look at me cross-eyed when they say Anglicanism is growing in Latin America. Why do you think that it resonates with some people in Latin America?
I would say in its core, Anglicanism is a natural expression of the faith. And so we can express our faith in Christ in a national way, in a Chilean way, using tools we have received from the past, but in a Chilean way. And I would say that's, for me, that's something important in Anglicanism. All of us, Anglicans, everywhere, you have to receive what you have been given and make it your own, national. And I would say that's for me the key element that has allowed us to be Anglicans in a country that is not not English speaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What seems to resonate? What are you seeing that seems to resonate?
Yeah, so we have the feeling, especially after all this unity with GAFCON, we have the sense of participating of something bigger, participating of a historical church, participating of a global communion.
Mm-hmm.
So even the beginning, the very beginning in another language, but it's a historical church. It's not an Anglican church, it's Jesus church. So we have this feeling of being part of, and to have the GAFCON communications in Portuguese helped also a lot to increase this feeling of being part of. So that's it. Yeah.
What's happening right now in your respective areas? I understand that things might be a bit stricter as opposed to the U.S. In regards to the COVID restrictions and epidemic. What's happening in your area, Bishop Sammy or Francis?
Chile is going back into a bit of a second wave. We've gone backwards as far as restrictions are concerned. Because it's summer here, the government has, for most regions at least, made a special ruling that allows people to go on holidays. You have to go once from here to the end of March. You can't go more than once. And you have to go to a place and stay there. You can't move around, at least as far as where you're staying is concerned. And on weekends, we're all in quarantine again, so yeah, in lockdown. So yeah, if you go to the beach, you have to sit and watch it on over the weekend. You can't actually go there.
Wow. That's very strict, isn't it? How does that work as far as running a parish, Sammy, Bishop Sammy?
Well, I would say we have adjusted to the reality. We are an online parish. On a given Sunday, we have people from Spain, England, every parts of the world attending our services. Not that many, but before it was just from our city, cities from. So if you were in San Pedro and now you move to another city, you can attend our services. So in that sense, we have a sense of community. It's not just the Sunday activities, it's the weekly activities. Those are the key element. Just to have a Sunday service, that's not enough.
Yeah.
We are stressing a lot, not now because we're in summer and we're in holidays, but online groups. And I would say that has been very important to us to keep in touch with people. What we do is we link what we study during the week with the Sunday service. So the preaching is studied during the week. And that has helped us a lot, really.
Mm-hmm. Giuliani?
So during the all quarantine and lockdown time, we were just having online service, online group meetings, onlining everything, conferences. And a few months ago, we were able to return the presential services. And many persons were like afraid to go, but now we see that people are more confident to go, especially to the churches. Here in Brazil, we are allowed to have the presential service with restrictions of a number of persons inside the temple. Mm-hmm. And we make a joke here that the most safe place to go outside your home, that would be the church, because there everybody needs to use the mask, social distance, and we check the temperature, everything, all the cares we need to take. And when we see people outside, I mean, on the streets, etc., they are not using the mask. So the cases increased, not because of the church meetings, but probably because of the other spaces that are not with bigger restrictions and the rules. So we are waiting for the government to say the next steps. But until now, we are able to have the procession service. So we are still doing this, and also we keep the online service as well.
Now, you and your husband, Archbishop Miguel, you all experienced COVID, didn't you?
Yeah, but was not inside the church. It was the time that we didn't took care, you know, and we are just like, why we did this? So I received some persons from Brasilia, another city. And then we went to the beach and spent time having, you know, resting time, etc. And at this point, we got COVID.
Right.
But so, praise the Lord, we passed through well. Me and Miguel, we are okay now.
Praise God, yeah.
Yeah, even passing through this time of COVID, we are experienced more faithfulness with people in the church. we can see that persons are more committed to the church now. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them leave the church, but we are seeing that maybe they were not belong to us at all at the first place. Mm-hmm. And now people that are still in the church, they are being showing a great faith. And we can see church growing, even passing through all this time. It's just a miracle. Because around the world, we know many cases of churching closing, you know, and it's not the case here in Brazil. Praise the Lord for that. Also, with the church planting network, we are still churching. We are still open new churches, even outside Brazil, as Guinea-Bissau in Africa. So that's what happened here in Brazil. It's a kind of a miracle. And of course, some churches closed here too. But in our Anglican community, we can see the church growing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Bishop Sammy, Chile or Francis, if you have any observations?
I would say we have... learned what it is to be a Christian in these days. We used to talk about evangelism and discipleship. That's part of our daily life. It's natural for us. Now it has become natural to love our neighbor in a way that we didn't think we were... we were able to do it, and so I praise God that we have been able now to really reflect the three key areas where you have to work as a church: evangelism, discipleship, and love. Loving your neighbor, and we have been able to raise a lot of resources, human and money, to help other people in ways we never thought we were going to be able to do it. And not just a community, but the city as a whole. So I would say that's something I would like to praise God for, what he's doing through us. Because he's the key person in this whole process. We have learned to talk. We are reading more the scriptures. We are praying more, and we are sharing more. Mm-hmm.
Very good to hear.
And we are giving more money to the church than 2 years ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we are spending, I don't know, a lot of money, much more than, let's say, 2 years ago. But our finances went up.
Hmm. Wow. That's a blessing.
For me, that's a sure sign that people are taking it seriously.
We've seen the same thing here. Just on Saturday, we had a AGM of my congregation, and the financial figures were really very, very surprising under the circumstances.
That's true. Yeah. That happened.
Yesterday, for our service, we had, I'm not quite sure how this happened, but our service was broadcast by the website of one of the major newspapers in Chile, and we were told that we had 70,000. We're not a big church, but that we had 70,000. What have you called looks? Now, of course, a lot of them will have looked at for about 2 seconds and gone out again. But it certainly created an opportunity we would never have had before.
I want to thank you again so much for your work. People don't realize that. You're either not compensated very much or at all. And the best way we can compensate you is just our gratefulness and thanks for what you are doing. And Francis, Sammy, Giuliani, thank you so much for blessing us in this way. And we hope that this is just the beginning. And as you get stories of people that are affected and touched by this, please share them with us. It is oxygen for motivating more work to be happening that way. And as you who might be listening to this might know, you know, this doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It takes people working, emails flying back and forth and Zoom calls and editing and all this kind of thing. And we ask for your support for this process so that it can go forward. You know, we started last year, the beginning in December, with zero devotional subscribers. We have 3,900 last look, at least. Sure. And it is growing. And we just praise God for that and hope that that continues. So thank you very much. And I pray you all stay safe during these days and times. And I will continue to see you and be blessed by that. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Everyday Global Anglicans podcast produced by GAFCON. Please visit gafcon.org to learn more about the many resources and work of GAFCON as we proclaim Christ faithfully.